killers arise from graves. The within, they shed the dead weight of morals and sins. Set loose by Zeus, declare space time, and lead the murderous horde known as Experience Grind.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Experience Grind podcast. I'm your host this week, Brian. And this is the show about getting older and the experiences we've gained along the way through movies and TV and games and music and all that fun pop culture goodness. With me today are my friends and my co-hosts. I'm going to start off with Sean.
If I were a doodle, I would be 3'8". My hair would be dragging 2 feet behind me. It would be purple, and everyone would call me Studman.
I love it. I could picture it. I could see it.
Thank you.
Also, this is Kyle.
Ralph Bakshi. More like Ralph Hackshit.
That might be a controversial statement.
Wow.
To certain people.
Wow.
And finally, Ryan.
Hello, my fellow Noids. Or should I say, yo, Noids? That's a deep cut.
I thought we were supposed to avoid the Noid.
That's what I thought, too. I don't know who came up with the Noid first now, either. And now my whole world is shattered watching this movie.
It has to be Domino's, right?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
This movie came out in 92. I think the Noid existed before that.
When was the NES game?
The NES game, there's an NES Cool World game, and there's a 1990 Yo Noid game, which was on the NES.
Okay, so, yep. The Pizza Noid was out first.
Noid was created in 1986.
I was going to say, I know he's from the 80s.
So maybe Ralph Bakshi was a hack shit.
While watching this movie, I did question multiple times, is this related to Yo Noid?
That's they throw around Noid so much that I question.
Hey, you Noid.
Yeah, I went back to Yo Noid so much. I'm like, oh my God. Am I missing something? Am I a dumb person?
Same, but I think my brain was just desperately trying to find some sort of meaning.
The movie we're talking about this week is Cool World from 1992, directed by Ralph Bakshi, or Hackshit, however you're feeling at the time.
French.
I chose this movie. I wish I could tell you why.
This for this entire episode was, Brian, why?
Why? Yeah, that's fair. I had a list of movies, like B movies, that I kind of wanted to find out more about. And this was one of the ones that I kept coming across that was like, oh, yeah, if you want to see a movie that definitely exists, you got to check out Cool World. It's a cult hit, apparently. I don't know which cult is following it, but avoid them, maybe.
Heaven's Gate, there's only one left.
Still counts.
Related?
Oh. So this movie is a combination of live action and animation, much in the way that Who Framed Roger Rabbit is, but also in the way that Who Framed Roger Rabbit isn't, because it's not particularly well done.
No. It certainly isn't. It certainly
tries. Ryan looks like he already has things to say, and I think we should get to that. We are going to be doing a breakdown with a scoring system this week, and I've changed it once again.
Love it.
Yes.
But now we only have 5 categories.
I like that.
And they are characters, story, style, entertainment value, which I've borrowed from Ryan, and direction. Those will be our 5 categories. We will each be giving it a score from 0 to 5. 6 if you think it did something great, but I don't think that's going to happen with this movie.
Maybe.
And before we get into that, I have a quick synopsis to run through.
Mm-hmm. So good, because this might be the only time I understand the story of this movie.
I don't think I'm not convinced that I will at the end of this. It looks like Ryan's ready to just, like, smack us around.
It looks like Ryan's ready to defend this movie, and I might be on his side, so.
I'm built. Let's get into it. Thoughts.
Frank Harris, who's portrayed by Brad Pitt, 1992 Brad Pitt, so you know Brad Pitt, is a war veteran on a sweet motorcycle back from the war. He survives a drunk driving accident that kills his mom while she's making dinner. It's a whole thing. instead of grief counseling, Frank gets yeeted into Cool World, a Looney Tunes fever dream with random violence and a talking cat scientist, Dr. Vincent Whiskers. He's not a cat, so I don't know where that came from. He is a man, a bald man with a big mustache. The Whiskers are his mustache. Dr. Whiskers apparently needed someone to run this lawless cartoon circus, and Frank drew the short straw.
Did I miss the... Was there, like, an assignment of him to, like, Popo? Because I spent...
I think he's self-assigned.
That's what I was... I spent most of this movie trying to figure out, in, like, the 47 years between, like, him getting yeeted into an alternate dimension and, like, 47 years later, one, why he never changed his goddamn clothes, and two...
Well,
because they only had cartoon clothes there. Who the fuck
made you cop?
All right, so it is all right. A few things. I'll clap back at the easy one, which is symbolically it's because it's the clothes he died and tried to escape in. So like he's never gonna do it because this is some weird limbo. If you want
to
take it that way,
I was not expecting to get into symbolism this early.
Not even getting there yet. I will also point out something I learned was this was originally like a 2-hour and 27-minute movie or some shit. Lot of this got clipped out. So I am sure there are large swaths of like exposition about how Brad Pitt became Police Officer Jones, who can't make the doodles with the doodles. but it's
noodle with a
they
doodle.
Don't talk about it. They don't discuss it at all because it's probably cut.
They don't discuss
There's
anything.
So much cut from this movie, and we'll get into that. Yeah. But it's felt.
We fast forward 47 years, and Jack Deebs, a cartoonist and manslaughter convict, gets released from jail after drawing inspiration from Cool World, which he thought was just a dream.
Gabriel Byrne.
That was Gabriel Byrne.
I thought it was a wet blanket.
Also Gabriel Byrne.
Famous actor, Gabriel
God Byrne. Damn. Fuck, him and Brad Pitt should have switched roles in this fucking flick.
Originally... Bakshi wanted Brad Pitt for
I could
that
see it.
Role.
That it needed a much more charismatic persona and than wet blankets.
I when the like the Brad studio Pitt. Was like, let's get Brad Pitt out of here. He said, no, I'm gonna write a new role for Brad Pitt.
Okay. Oh, I do like what Brad Pitt does with the detective, what he is given. I
Same
agree
here,
that
but
Burns a wet blanket.
You need
though.
Something
He's
so much
never
more
been,
than yeah. Jack Deebs. Good.
Also,
Usual Suspects
while Pitt is
in today's
service. I mean, we're breaking down Brian's scoring system already. I'm sorry.
No, we'll get to it. It's fine.
Pitt's serviceable. He's okay, but I feel like even in this, he's. I don't know if it's just this had to have been a bitch to work on production wise in general, especially all his shit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. He just seems so fucking over it in most of this movie. And he also himself. This is the one movie he hates that he's ever done. He does not
I
like
I think
this
it's
movie.
Because it was filmed before he figured out his trick of having to eat in every scene.
That was before
because
the,
he doesn't eat a single thing
in
this whole movie except maybe some scenery.
Man, all right, I want Brian to continue, but I also disagree with you, Kyle, but we will get into this later.
Yeah, we will.
We will, but there's a whole category for it. Surprise, Cool World is real, and Jack Deebs is getting summoned there by Hollywood, Kim Basinger, who is a cartoon bombshell and wants to get out of Cool World and really mingle with humans or noids. But Frank, now the Cool World's cartoon cop, warns Jack, hey, no sex with doodles or reality's gonna implode.
That's the hard, fast rule.
He is a cop and his only crime that needs to be enforced is don't fuck cartoon characters.
Do not fuck. And it is a full-time job, and there's only one other guy. He's policing himself 24 hours a day until Wet Blanket shows up. Before that, he was just, like, putting himself in the slammer.
Yeah.
Can't phone.
Don't do it, Jack.
I want to say it's such a insight into the artist that he created this world where anything goes, but you can't fuck cartoons. And he is a cartoonist himself, Ralph Bakshi. So I think it is very much a look at, like, So, how much do you want to fuck cartoons?
I was going to say,
which cartoons do
if
you
look
fuck?
Into his filmography, it's a common theme.
I know it is. Oh, I know. I have. And Heavy Metal.
Are you
Metal
familiar with Fritz the Cat?
I am.
Yeah. I
watching this, I forgot I've already seen this. I thought this was going to be a new watch. It turns out I've seen this, so this was nothing new to me. It refreshed a lot of things.
It is a memorable movie.
But there were a lot of things mm-hmm. I was like, memorable, oh, shit, memorable? I have seen this. Oh, I remember this. So I am apparently much more familiar with Bakshi than I remember. Continue.
Holly keeps yanking Jack into Cool World to seduce him while gaslighting him about creating the place. Jack predictably falls for it. Frank confiscates Jack's dangerous pen, which is a weird plot point that's somehow super important. Gives him the don't bang cartoon speech and sends him home. Jack promptly ignores everything and hooks up with Holly, transforming her into a human and triggering interdimensional chaos, of course.
Huh.
Holly, now human, makes a beeline for the real world, offing Frank's side partner Nails, his cartoon spider, who is his police partner, and making sure he doesn't have sex with cartoon characters.
A real anticlimactic
off
way.
With a pen. Yeah, just he just kind of gets absorbed into the pen.
It's no shoe in the liquefying goo.
No. Definitely not. Mm-mm. So Frank heads to the real world to stop Holly while she hits a Vegas nightclub, flickering between human and doodle because the universe is collapsing. But not her normal doodle self. It's like a clown version of herself.
Mm-hmm. Which is another thing never explained.
Uh-uh.
Nope.
No.
Between her and Jack, the same thing's going on.
Yeah. Similar things going on. I have my theories, but
they have some sort of
spike in it.
Hey, she does keep blabbing about the spike of power. Plot convenient MacGuffin atop a Vegas casino, and she abandons Jack to go find it. Classic cartoon femme fatale move.
Mm-hmm. These dames.
Yeah.
Frank and Jack, plus a random helpful neighbor girl, Jennifer, decide to team up and rush to the casino. And Holly, still flickering like bad Wi-Fi, rips the spike from its spot, turning everyone in Vegas into doodles and opening a monster gateway. Jack suddenly becomes a superhero doodle, because why not? He grabs the spike, resists Holly's last-ditch seduction, and puts the spike back, trapping all the doodles and himself in Cool World. Meanwhile, Frank is thrown to his death Vegas high-rise.
Pretty anticlimactic. Again, Hollywood just
kind of pushes him.
Okay.
But since Holly killed Frank as a doodle, he gets reborn as a doodle himself. And that's how things work in Cool World. So now he's permanently animated and can finally date his cartoon girlfriend, Lynette, without risking reality. Meanwhile, Jack and Holly are stuck at a comic book panel, and Jack is planning their new life while Holly silently regrets everything. Absolutely everything.
Pencil dick.
And that's Cool World.
Pencil
in a
dick.
Nutshell.
That's the final line in Cool World. Pencil dick.
Pencil dick.
I feel like that should be known, just as we think and discuss this movie, that the final line.
Listen, as far as pencil closing dick. Lines in movies go, that's way up there.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Top 10. Top 10 of all time.
Cool.
It's
cool,
like, cool, frankly, cool. My dear.
I want to hear the rest.
I don't give a damn.
Pencil dick.
Can the tunes, like, can they get drunk? Can they bang each other?
It seems like they are all drunk all the time.
Hammered
so.
Every second of the day.
Yeah.
So,
they don't.
What is the benefit of the real world?
That's a fantastic question.
What is the drive? Like, if there had been like, oh, I want to feel things.
That's what's missing from the movie. And I think it hints at it. And I feel like that was taken away because it's probably the shit that was like not interesting, i.e. not cartoony or visually like exciting. Right. But I do think like we don't get to see why Holly yearn so much to be a human, and when she goes into the mm-hmm. human world, like why it's something worth fighting and killing for. That's something that is just yeah. skipped over. And I, that is crucial. I agree.
At least Frank's character, who's like, I wouldn't say desperate to stay in Cool World, but he has no intention or want to leave and go back to the real world. Like, he actually has a reason, and he explains it, you know, at some point in the movie. Like, he actually gives a justification for staying in Cool World.
Yes.
When people have said, you can just leave. Mm-hmm. But you
it's
don't.
Weird also that he has the option to just leave whenever he wants, and they never explain why.
They
is
never,
it just because he's human, or
they never explain
because
that.
It doesn't seem like everybody else has the same option.
They mention a couple of times that other humans have gone there. Like, this is this is something that's brought up multiple times in the movie, and like, there's no rhyme or reason.
The rules it's all are very messy. Interesting. There is a scene, very a brief messy. Scene, where Holly is telling Frank why she wants to go to the real world, but it all seems very surface level.
It's very vaguely. Like a
seduction tactic more so than it's her actual motivation.
It's paper.
But we will get to that. Then, yeah. Actually, why don't we just get right into it and start with characters? It's going to be 0 to 5. And we're covering everything from casting, the protagonist, antagonist. Does this pass the Bechdel test? The answer is no. all within this category.
Do you have half points?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Make just for easy. Ease.
Yeah. I like it. I just wanted the clarification.
0 through 5. Each of us gets to voice. We're not averaging it. We're just adding them up.
I knew what I was coming out of the gate with on this one.
So this is a total of 20 points per category?
Yes.
Okay.
But you're only responsible for your 5 points.
Yeah. Oh, I like this.
I like that. Ooh, I like that.
I'll start it with a sweet one.
A sweet one,
and it is only getting a one because a lot of the doodle characters are fun and entertaining.
Okay.
And actually, I guess it could be a 2, but then the other half of the doodle characters are really fucking annoying and brings it back down to a 1. So,
yeah.
I am also jumping in, and I'll be quick, to just say it's getting a 1. If you were going to give me halves, it would only get a half. And it's only getting the 1 because I do feel Kim Basinger is having a lot of fun and trying her damnedest to encapsulate a cartoon in the real world. And that's about it. Everything else here is very wooden and stiff. I felt all of the doodles were very annoying, very... There's a thing in this movie where you can just see where the budget cuts hit every time. And I feel...
It's interesting you say that, and I think we'll get more into it when we get to style and direction, but I don't know that it was budget cuts so much as it was a lack of direction of the animators.
I mean, I think that's a big part, too, and I mean... We're gonna.
I look forward to that conversation.
So. But yeah, I'm going with 1 just for Kim Basinger.
All right. Well, fuck it. I'll defend this movie a bit. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's great characters here. I don't think it's anything special. No. But I also think 1 is way too harsh. I do think like there's something weirdly affecting and sweet about Brad Pitt's relationship with the fucking doodle. And then his, like, trying to escape reality and, like, all this stuff. And, like, when you said, like, him falling was anticlimactic, I disagree. I was kind of touched and moved that he knew he was probably doing something stupid, but still was trying to help Holly, even leading to his death. And I thought it was kind of tragic, and it worked in, like, this weird noir, like, detective wronged by, like, the femme fatale damsel in distress who's not a damsel in distress and all this stuff. I kind of liked it, and it is simple and basic, and it's not anything, again, it's not great, it's not anything good, but I was still kind of moved. That said, I can't give it like a good one. I can't give it a good number because, like Kyle said, a lot of the doodles are so fucking annoying and aggravating that it, like, actively ruined my experience. So I'm going to go with a 2.
A 2?
I could be argued to go
this movie.
For my to defense. A 2 because of, like, everything that you said about it. And I think out of all of the characters, Holly is the like the only character in this movie with any sort of actual conviction. Like
Brad Pitt too. I think Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I guess Brad has a lot of conviction.
But man,
the character of Frank Harris.
He's so he's hard escaping when, like, reality. He just
when
can't
you have
deal.
Jack Deebs as a character who's like the most paper thin character like I've ever
he's
seen.
He's nothing.
Like,
oh, yeah. You're a bird. Fuck.
He is nothing.
Nothing.
And I think he's nothing by design.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think he was convinced by Holly that he created this cool world when in fact it's existed years before he started this comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And she's basically seducing him so she can become real and get into the real
world. Comic book that he created and published from prison somehow,
yeah,
apparently.
Mean, when you're good, you're good.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I actually really like Brad Pitt's character in this movie.
Thank you.
I understand where he's coming from, mm-hmm, in trying to protect his escapism world, but also feels he has an obligation to the real world to prevent it from becoming destroyed. And then, yeah, Holly, whatever her motivation may be, is just very well portrayed, I think. So mm-hmm, I'm also going to go with a 2. I'm not going to go positive either, but it's a 2 for me.
I think the hard place for me is that I think the characters for me would benefit greatly from like a 2-hour and 24-minute long version.
Probably,
but
yeah.
Me as a person don't want to yeah. see that.
It would drive also me true. Nuts.
They
fun
need,
fact,
like,
Willem
an extra
Dafoe.
40 minutes.
Willem Dafoe was actually Bakshi's first choice for Deebs.
Oh, man.
And I think that would have been a much better movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kyle, what's that movie we watched for action movie? July or whatever? The drama, the biker gang opera.
Oh, fuck.
Ugh,
I always want to say American Graffiti, but it's not that.
It's definitely not that.
Easy
it's a,
Rider?
Such a cheap version of that.
No.
It's the one with Willem Dafoe and the leather overalls and the pompadour.
Yeah,
it's
awful.
And Rick
it
Moranis.
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, we did it. Sean
this sounds
to.
Excellent. What do you mean it was
oh,
awful?
Oh, dude.
Streets of Fire.
I would totally revisit it because I would like to see what Ryan thought of it, because I feel Ryan would really.
You had me at Willem Dafoe.
You think
then you had
so,
me
man.
Again at leather overalls.
You think so.
And then you had me a third time with Rick Moranis.
Yeah,
and it's a rock opera.
A choreographed fight with a sledgehammer.
That all sounds great. What?
They both are wielding them as like swords. Right. Dudes, I'm telling you. Like
you would think that it's.
You think it's.
Fast
it sounds,
and Furious rip this
great.
Off? Are you telling me Fast and Furious is not original?
Oh. Did you find the name, Sean? What is it?
Yeah, it's Streets of Fire.
Streets of Fire.
All right, I'm going to watch
it. It has everything on paper that I'm looking for in a movie.
Dude, you think so? I'm telling you. Even that's why we did
it. I mean,
Sean
I'll
was
watch
like,
it
yo,
again.
Check this out. This is fucking
this
dope.
Is great.
Look at this cast. Read this description. And I was like, cool, let's check
Diane
this out.
Diane Lane.
And
we
found a hidden gem.
What the fuck?
Dude,
I'm telling
Lane's
you. I'm telling you. Let's revisit it. I'm 100% down.
I'll go down.
Be the first 2.0 reboot.
6.7 out of 10 on IMDb. It's not rated badly. It is
that's
not
the thing.
Rated
I think
badly.
It's maybe a Different Strokes folks thing, but man, it did not resonate with us.
I'm into it.
And that's why I'd like to get
or Kyle's
two
just
other...
saying that it didn't resonate with me and I actually liked it, but I have a short... I am a goldfish. So
over the top, campy, loud, flashy, boomy,
yes,
messy.
Yes.
I'm in.
Dafoe Moranis. I love it. Yeah.
The messiest is the part that I remember the most from it. A lot like this movie.
I mean, the more that we talk about it, like the more I want to watch it again.
So. I think that's gonna pepper the rest of this conversation of cool world going forward. It is super messy in any of the categories we're gonna talk about, mm-hmm, but I still mm-hmm think there's something to appreciate in all of those categories.
You got to tear it down to the studs, but there's something there. There is a sturdy foundation.
There's so many times I thought while watching this movie, I wish this were good.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, I mean that with all sincerity. I wish this was good because I thought
there's
the visuals,
a lot of stuff that should work. Yeah.
We'll get there.
Cannot wait to talk about the animation with y'all.
Same.
Yeah. Our second category is the story. So encapsulated that is the story, the motivation of the characters, the screenplay. The screenplay was written by Michael Grace and Mark Victor with an uncredited rewrite by Larry Gross to make it more audience friendly, because they were originally going for an R rating here and then decided to switch gears so it was more marketable.
So we got the Gross cut?
We somehow got the PG-13 cut, which was
what
brought down from the R cut.
The best of no worlds.
Yeah, it's like that middling.
Yeah, you not only get compromise. The annoying, grating, loud, stupid fucking toon characters for the kids, you also get like real weird, ramped up horniness, but without anything actually showing or doing or anything actually transgressive. Just the idea of horniness.
Hollywood's butt
constantly.
You could possibly talk me into watching a 2-hour and 20-minute version of this as rated R.
Like, yeah, I bet it was, because like, he did heavy metal, and heavy metal is like super R-rated, and it makes sense.
Yeah,
that I like movie heavy metal makes sense.
2000
to me.
Better.
I've never seen 2000.
I like want 2000 the director's cut. It is. We got the fucking Zack Snyder Justice League director's cut, but we can't get the goddamn Bakshi director's cut of
Give,
Coral.
Well, Jeff,
you
hashtag release the Bakshi cut.
You talk about the two. Like when I was watching this. The whole mom and daughter side story is obviously another thing that's just eviscerated. And
we missed the God, it is.
But I thought, like, watching it, I was like, man, if this was like a limited run series, I would have loved like 4 episodes where you see Kim Basinger trying to adapt to the real world.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been fantastic and fleshed it
and
out.
Meanwhile,
and meanwhile, that would have been so much better.
And you have Frank like kind of starting to fall for this daughter of the neighbor kind of thing. And then like, is he going to want to go back? What's he going to? You had so many opportunities to ramp up.
Yeah.
I like the limited engagement, because her being so cartoony and over the top dealing with people in the real world was a great little bit. Mm-hmm. And then that's really all we got, like 2 minutes. And then here we go.
This might be a weird comparison, but like, this reminds me a lot of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation 2.
In that
movie, it just felt like skit after skit after bit after bit after bit. And this, there's a lot of parts in this movie where it just feels like something was sliced off, like a slice of pie was sliced off, tossed in here, sliced off. It like less so does it feel like things were removed from the movie, and more so does it feel like things were just kind of slapped in there. And maybe it's just in the way that things were cut out, because it made it feel so damn obvious that things were missing, like the whole neighbor, you know, the neighbor girls thing. Like, going into that scene and the first time you met them, I thought, like, did I miss something in this movie? Like, who are they?
Honestly, you talk about like what's missing from them, and I'm like, oh cool, that would make sense and that adds more, but I don't really need a lot from the mom and the daughter. Those are such ancillary characters. They don't matter to me. I feel like they're jarring and they pop up, but like, it, if we're talking like Marvel movies, they're like the Darcys. They're like just like side characters. They're support characters that just pop in for like brief comedic moments and then disappear.
They show up for a little flavor and some exposition, and then we don't need them anymore.
Exactly.
But like, my problem is that it makes it feel the movie feel unpolished. And just like,
unpolished is probably a very good
way. I think there's a lot of unpolished going around. I just don't know that like that would be like the glaring thing for me. There's so much, so many other areas.
Oh, there's a lot
in Cool World where I'm like, that's unpolished. That like the mother daughter not getting fleshed out, I'm like, I'm fine with that one. That one just doesn't bother
me. I only went with that because like somebody had just mentioned it and it was right there. Yeah. It was easy to grab and like, this is a fine example, but it's like that throughout the entire movie where it's just like, it just feels like hard cut, 5 minutes is missing here. Here's the next scene. Hard cut, 5 minutes is missing. Here's the next scene. And sure, it flows and you can get from the beginning of the story to the end of the story, but it just feels like you're on an ATV going over a rocky cliff. And
it's just so rough. I guess this is just, I maybe I just disagree slightly. You're not wrong. Everything you're saying is right. I feel like there are so many moments cut out of this movie, and I felt that. But in the moment to moment, it did not necessarily bother me. It is super messy, but there's enough that worked that I could look past a lot of the stuff that didn't work, even though I wouldn't say like it's positive, because this is story and like overall drive of the story and motivations and all of this, it's so fucking messy. I'll just go ahead and say like my score is going to be a 2 again, because I don't think it's not good, but it's also not going to be the worst thing ever. Like, again, like the Brad Pitt motivation works more than it should. Like, it's, I don't know. There's, for as
especially
silly
when you
as
consider the he's the third
fucking open, exactly. For the third bill, he's surprisingly, and I kind of like what they do with Holly. And for as fucking silly of a character as Holly is, like, I think there's like some genuine depth there. I feel like a lot of it's cut out, but like there's enough there that's hinted at. Like, I see it. I feel it. It's tangible enough in the script. I would have preferred more. I would have wanted more, but what's there is not the worst. It's another 2. And I'm just going to put that out there because I'm anticipating ones or zeros from Sean and Kyle going forward. And I just want to say it's not that bad. We literally talked action movie December about like stories.
We do.
And y'all like have a one or nothing. And there's some more nuance here. So don't just go with like the one or nothing thought process on story. Like there's nuance. I'm playing for nuance. It's not good. But it's a 2.
I mean, I don't think it's one or nothing here. I mean, this is going out of 5. And I got to say, like, okay, why can't Doodles and Noids boink?
All right. If we're getting,
that is a legitimate
world building
question.
Storytelling, because those are two different things.
But it's not.
And your issues are with
world
building
is part of the story,
but the problem is that like we're just told that with no context, no rhyme or reason.
You're not wrong.
It's like it's the weirdest thing. By the end of the movie, I had no idea why I just watched. And if I come out of a story being like, I don't know why I just watched, like, why, what was the thought that was like, this is the story I'm going to tell? Like, I thought this movie was bumbling bullshit. The story was bumbling bullshit.
Wait. And so you don't know, just, real quick, you said you don't know why you watched it. So you just don't think there were like any character arcs here at all? Like there was nothing
are character
for you to
arcs,
grab
but
onto.
They are so absolutely like just transparent. And they're, I don't know, man. Like, okay, so Brad Pitt's there. He is some self-imposed cop that for some reason figures out that humans and that Noids and Doodles can't boink. And so the whole point of this movie is Holly's trying to get this artist there so she can boink and become human and go get this spike of power. That is that is the entire story, and it is.
I will say you're getting hung up on really just two world-building details. And if we're going to get hung up on like laws, are not all laws arbitrarily defined? Are not all laws just like set, like,
hairs.
Why are speed limits defined?
No.
Who decides that number?
I want to talk about this.
Do we
talk
about
this? Because I'm going off of what I
see
here. And I feel like you're taking into account a lot of the stuff that was cut out. And I can't sit here and speak for anything that was cut out.
No, even taking... All right, so I know nothing about what was cut out. I can assume. But like, I was still, just to be clear, I was still affected by Brad Pitt's arc and even Holly's arc to an extent without any of the shit was cut out. I think that would make it even better and make this movie actually something worth the cult status it has. I don't think it's quite there, just to be clear, but I was still very affected by Brad Pitt's arc here. I think it's very kind of moving what he does. I don't think it's perfect. I think it's messy, but I was moved by what was just in this movie, not what was cut out. I just think that would have made it a better movie.
So I think, you know, he has a good arc. Holly
again, 2 is a negative score. 2 is still under average, just FYI.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying, okay, so Frank has an arc. Holly has an arc. I think the story's dog shit. 1.
I don't disagree. It's not okay. The best.
That's all I'm getting at. They have arcs, and the story sucks.
Okay.
I could have been as simple as them just saying, like, yeah, there's this STD that's only communicable between Noids and Toons, and if you catch it, you're going it's going to throw everything out of whack.
But when they do it and we see reality collapse, is it not so hard to think at some point somebody did this in the past and they saw reality collapse and that's why they say don't do it? Just because, like, there's not like a document or a tribunal of all the times that a Toon and a Doodle fucked, like, doesn't mean... It's just, I don't know. I feel like by the end of this movie, they very effectively communicate why a Noid and a Doodle should not diddle very well.
I feel like at the climax of this movie, the most of what we're seeing is the effects of the shard, rather than the effects of two consenting adults. I don't know. It seems like there's no effect when they're in the Toon world. It only has an effect when they go back to the human world.
I do agree. The shard ramps it up. We start to see shit deteriorating with her and Gabriel Byrne, white paper, like kind of going toony and like that. And then they real quickly like ramp it up to like she's removing the shard and now all of Toon is pouring out. And
yeah.
I don't disagree. I don't think there was enough time spent on, like, the ramifications, but I do think we started to see the ramifications. It just was then Holly, for some reason, decided to end reality.
So she
which
was
is
after.
Why, again, not good, but Brad Pitt did move me, so 2. Sean, I'm sorry, what was your score, though? Dog shit, 1?
He said 1.
Oh, okay.
I'm only upset that you commanded me to not use the action movie All or Nothing score because I already was, and it was getting a 0. And I'm not coming into this being a hater just because Ryan likes the movie.
I don't like the. It's a 2. 2 means negative.
I know.
Goddamn media illiteracy.
I know. And you're just going. I'm just busting chops here. For real though. I might say
2 out of 5 is a 40%
on the out of 5 scale, but here's my complete issue with the story too. And yes, it's a joke in action movie December because at the whole, you don't really expect an action movie to have a lot of story. I figure a movie with cartoons and humans interacting to be at least a little something there for me to get on board with it. I think Sean brought up a great point where things just sort of feel mashed together. And I think that's a big reason why overall, the story feels so messy and somewhat rushed because it does my biggest complaint in movies where, like he said, it's like it's bits. There's nothing really driving us. Things are just happening. We have 3 fucking dance scenes. Why? Why? Because, as I mentioned and alluded to earlier, you see a lot of budget in this movie. So many of these fucking dance scenes are in here to 1, pad time, and 2, because so much of this is just animations I feel back she had and just could recreate them easily. So many of this is just 2 panel, up, down, up, down, up, down. And it's like, if they could have put more into it, it would have been better. But like, so much of the jokes in the story are formed around, I think, adapting jokes or bits that were already in existence to help reduce overall costs so they didn't have to animate thousands of things from scratch, because I know that spider character is from a different thing. That's a completely other character that they just were able to reuse most of the
animations from somewhere.
They used the same voice actor for him too, from the other thing he was in.
And it just so many things, like I said, they happen. What we see something with the spike at the beginning, and then it's apparently been in Las Vegas on a sign the whole time. Cool World was created by Wet Blanket, but Brad Pitt's lived in it for 47 years. How are the doodles only from his brain? Is that everybody's collective doodles? So much I just don't understand, and I still don't. And I don't feel like the movie gave me anything. And yeah, okay, Brad Pitt is a performance, but like, he's not even the main character.
And I think a lot of it, a lot of what you're saying goes into like the category of story. It includes story, motivation, and screenplay. And I think, you know, the screenplay is not great and the story is not great. And I think a lot of enjoyment will be coming up in entertainment value.
I think like Bakshi could just, and again, it must have been a bitch to try to direct this thing too on top of it. You know, they did so many groundbreaking things with Roger Rabbit, things that you can tell they couldn't or didn't, just weren't able to do for whatever reasons. Again, budgetary, I feel, had to have affected this movie insanely. Because, I mean, there's even parts in the animation where, like, it's not even completed animations. You can see that they're just, sketch outlines.
Real quick,
I don't know if
we're going to, first, this is story, not animation. So, sure. Like, we should hold off on the animation stuff till animation. But if we're going to talk about the animation, like, do you realize, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit had, like, much more money given to it than a Ralph Bakshi
project. And that's what
project.
I'm saying.
So, like,
you can
I feel like it should be given a bit of grace then, knowing it does not have the same resources that, like, ILM was fucking on Roger Rabbit. Like, you know, like, it's not even fair to compare. It'd be like Independence Day versus Fire in the Sky and or something.
But I'm
like,
saying
it's not,
you can just see
I don't know
that
if it's that much of a difference. I mean, Who Framed Roger Rabbit had a $50 million budget. This movie had a $30 million budget.
But it's also like a 5-year difference with Roger Rabbit being earlier. Yeah. So inflation probably puts it a little bit more. So what I'm hearing is this had a third of Roger Rabbit's production budget. And it, like, for what I'm seeing, like, they
it had
did
more
well.
Than half.
But, like, we're going to get into that with the art stuff.
I'm
more on that with the art stuff.
I'm not shitting on the art or the animation. I'm just saying you can tell, and I do feel that it does, for me at least, it affected the story overall because I felt so many parts of this were formed to fit into that mold of what was already probably pre-existing.
I think that's more of a...
It makes for a confusing story.
I push back and I would say that is a constraint of the R to PG-13.
Sure.
And I feel like
but
a lot
it still
of the story
doesn't
was
make
mangled that
a
way.
A good story. So. And I'll give it a 1.
All right. I'm going to echo kind of what everybody's saying to a certain extent. I agree with Kyle that this movie has a lot of moments where it's like, this happened... And then this happened, and then this happened. Whereas I do subscribe to the storytelling advice that I originally heard from Matt Stone, Trey Parker, of all people, of course, that you want but and therefore. So like, this happens, therefore this happens, or this happens, but this happens. It's not so much driven by this, then this, then this. Then, you want reasons for the next things to happen. And I think this movie does have some of that. I feel like a lot of, honestly, Brad Pitt's character is what has clearly received the most attention in the screenwriting process. Mm-hmm. In case you were unaware, the original idea behind this movie when Bakshi first came up with it was that it was going to be a horror movie about an animator who somehow ends up in a cartoon world, has sex with a cartoon woman, the woman gets pregnant, and her daughter is born half human, half cartoon hybrid, and then travels to the human world where she tries to kill her father.
Oh,
that was the original premise.
I love that.
That sounds
awesome. And then
and
the studio went behind Bakshi's back and had it rewritten entirely. And I think at
it's
that
a
point,
cool world?
You have a lot of
that's so different.
A lot of a dissonance, a lot of tension between the studio and Bakshi, and I think that has shown
you
itself.
You can see that too.
You
and that would explain why
it,
they
but,
didn't really get behind and push for budgetary things. So,
It's
all.
But I also agree with Ryan that there is still something here. But I am only going to give it a 1.
It's fair. Nobody gave it a 0.
And it's
going to
move us
happy.
Nobody gave it a 0. we're all saying that there's something there,
even if it's very minuscule. And hard to see.
Because overall, like, if you ask me right now, I could summarize this movie. I can give you a plot. It's not nothing non-existent.
Right.
But again, it's just so...
It makes you ask why more than it should.
I just think it's so much just like a whiff. They almost had it. They almost had it. Like, there's so much potential there, and I can see it in the ambitions I can see it all there. They didn't. And that's why I can't be positive on it, and it's not a three.
Right.
But it's I just also didn't hate it, because I feel like they were trying. Whereas, like, there are movies we've watched where, like, they didn't try, and they don't deserve
They were just showing
credit.
Up
they
and
just
trying to
up.
Get the money. Yeah.
This Steven Seagal.
There is effort
if you're
on
in a movie.
Here.
It was
I'm
not Sharknado-esque. I 100% agree with you there.
I don't even know that Sharknado deserves that.
I don't know. Maybe. I'd have to
I've
watch
also
it again.
Never seen it,
I really dislike those movies and find them very cynical.
They did try. They wanted to do something with this. I totally agree.
And that's it. For, like, I do feel...
For sake of moving on, I will agree.
Whatever.
The next category is style. And that is going to be the style, obviously, the animation takes place here, the tone, how it fits within its genre, and also is kind of lumped in here, the music in the movie, which was, in my opinion, fantastic. But we'll get there.
I'll go ahead, I'll set the base. I feel, in the terms of style, I'm going to give it a solid 3, to be honest. Like, I feel it's got an idea of what it wants, and it hits that idea a lot. But then there's so many other times where things just get messy and the style kind of goes out the window. But it could also kind of been, if we're going with the idea that this world is doodles of everyone, like, yeah, it contains a bunch of weirdness from everything. So I think it nails a lot parts of it. It nails the femme fatale aspect pretty solidly. So I give it a solid 3.
I will follow Kyle up, and also... I'm actually going to give this a 4 in style, on style, tone, genre, and music. I think the style and the tone of this movie were awesome. And this is why I mentioned earlier the amount of times that I watched this movie and thought to myself, I wish this were good, because I did very much think that the style and tone were great. Music, the parts that I remember, I do like that, you know, that jazz clubby kind of music, and she's, you know, dancing up there. I thought that was great. That really fit in here. And it had so much stuff in this movie that I should love. And the fact that they managed to not have me just smack that out of the park is a real disappointment. But for this category, I'm going with a 4.
Nice.
Oh, animation, awesome. What really actually pissed me off, because I sent you guys saying that visually this movie was hot garbage. While I did think the animation was awesome, there's a lot of times where it was way too fucking busy. And like, you didn't need animation all over the goddamn screen. Clean it up. If like... Every single time an actor was supposed to be looking at a doodle, it didn't look like they're looking at a doodle.
Compositing versus animation. And that's, you're right. The compositing is not super great, especially when Roger Rabbit did it so well 4 years earlier.
So well.
It looks so
bad. I think what Sean's talking about too, there's a couple times where like they're having a conversation with a character that's like bouncing all this over here and they're just statically looking,
also
because they put in that stuff later.
Well, there's also like, okay, so here's my like looking like this, you know,
that's a compositing,
sure, okay, but that's still, but I think kind of goes into style and
that
tone.
Falls into the direction,
it is.
Too.
Well, it's all
okay,
part
so
of
I'll
it.
Save that.
Oh, it's all part of it. I would, if it's part of style too, that's fine, but I'm just making a distinction because I do think the animation is very good. The animation of just like the movements and like fluidness of like all of that, I think is good. I think the compositing, not good. And there's a distinction that I just want to make sure that's out there.
Quick question.
Yes.
Quick question then. Shadowing. Stuff like when this is such a dark movie.
Uh-huh.
Very dark, especially when they're in Cool World.
It's
in the nitty gritty. It's very
grimy.
It's
just because their cell shading wasn't very great at that point when they're doing the cell animation. Like, they just weren't aware of, like, the lighting.
Between the characters, between the Noids and the Doodles standing right next to each other, it is a stark night and day.
Again, they probably had so little time compared to the artists that worked on Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I don't care how much time they have. I care about what I watch. And with that, I'm going to pass it on.
Okay. Well, if we're talking about the style overall, I am more in the middle, but leaning more positive this time. So I think I'm in the three. I think a lot of what's good here in the animation works really, really well. But I agree with Sean. I think there are scenes where there's just like two people talking, like Brad Pitt and then his like animated partner. But then there's like a mob of just fucking tiny doodles in the foreground, making a bunch of noise and jumping up and down to distract for no reason. And they do this kind of a lot for no reason. They just put in so much to grab your attention because they don't have faith in life.
Especially in scene transitions.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But I also feel like if we're talking about the animation and the style, there's not like a real cohesiveness to some of it. And I mean this in like, you look at Hollywood and how she's animated. Her outlines are very, like, thin and light compared to, like, the harsh, thick outlines of some of the doodles. And then some of them are, like, very sketchy and, like, kind of, like, very quickly done. Very hashtaggy. There's just, like, a bunch of different things, and it all doesn't feel cohesive. And what I would compare this to is, if anybody's seen Ant-Man Quantumania, when they go into that micro realm, I can't think of the name of it now.
The quantum realm,
of course. there's just like, here's a werewolf and here's like an alien. And then here's like this bug person and here's like this. There's just like a bunch of different things and none of it makes sense. And then there's just no cohesiveness. Right. It's just a bunch of ideas.
They're all conveniently the same height.
And I feel like that's a lot of the style in this movie. There's just a bunch of ideas thrown out with any cohesive style. And so,
yes,
I like a lot of it. And I didn't even mention the flat 2D Tim Burton-esque like house things with like the eyes and like some of the architecture that's really like Gotham-esque.
Oh, yeah.
That's super cool. Yeah.
They were doing really cool stuff with like the set backgrounds.
So I don't know. It's just it's a really mixed. I don't know that it's super successful, but I'm positive on it. I'd say a three.
Yeah. Yeah. You could tell that a handful of different animators worked on this at different times because you do have backgrounds or like establishing shots that are painted and look amazing. And then you have the actual physical sets where you have Brad Pitt acting against actual cardboard. And you're like, this does not look good.
Yep.
Those light poles were one that I remember. I'm glad you brought that up because I saw that and I was like, God, that looks terrible.
Like there was a scene where he walks between two like depth levels in the set and you can see the corrugation on the side of what he's walking next to. And there's like it's supposed to be animated, but it's not lit like you would like animation would be. And so to Sean's point, the same thing. You have drastic differences in shade between the live action actors and your animation, and the compositing again, not good. But I mean, style wise, I understand, especially after Roger Rabbit, a reason for there being different animation styles. Like you have your Fleischer-esque and your Terry Toons, and then they had a completely different person do the illustrations for Hollywood, and it could be seen as like the evolution of whoever the artist, or if there's multiple reasons for these doodles to be in Cool World, that it could be that could be explained that way. Style, I mean, I like it, but also it gets busy at times, and I don't like it anymore. And then if I'm including the music in this, I really like the music. I especially, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know I love a good song about the movie and the credits, and you get Real Cool World by David Bowie, and that just made me so freaking happy. So I'm going to give this a three also. keep it above that halfway point, because I do think the style is worth something here. You can tell they put some effort into it.
I forgot about Bowie. I'm glad somebody mentioned it.
Bowie always deserves to be mentioned when he's here. The next category is entertainment value. And this is the general enjoyability of the film. You can also take into account the box office and the impact on the film industry or the genre. Or it's not a very big genre of the crossover animation and film live action, but
can you count them on one or two hands?
Movie that does that. I think you might need two, okay. But I think one of those hands is entirely Ralph Bakshi.
Right. Okay.
Entertainment. I'll shoot out the gate on this one too. I don't know. I'm trying not to be hard, but man, I did not really enjoy any time with this movie. Unlike Ryan, I did remember seeing this the first time. I was very encapsulated by this movie when I saw it in rental stores as a kid, and I rented it, and I remember even as a kid, I was like, that wasn't great. Like, I think I watched it a couple times just because I was like, oh, cool cartoons. But like, even as a kid, like I never wanted to go back to it. And this was the first time I've seen it since then. And it's just, I didn't really have a good time with it. I didn't absolutely hate it. And there was a couple times I laughed. So I got to give it a one, but it's pretty low on entertainment for me.
That's fair. I actually had a pretty good time watching this movie. I'm going to be honest. And I didn't partake in anything beforehand, and I'm glad I didn't, because it would have made it feel twice as long as it was. I think just watching it, I got into it in the beginning. Kyle is showing us a doodle
that
be available to our Patreon subscribers.
Is that a princess?
And that is...
Booby princess?
I don't know what that is.
Ice King's got a new princess.
Is it wearing a diaper?
That's what I thought.
It's underwear that got to that tried to make a metallic, and that then
is,
it's just
that is
it's
a diaper.
Odd. Yeah,
nailed it.
I like
nailed
that. I'll it. Give go, it stink lines now.
Go check out the Patreon, folks. Kyle will upload a picture of this. Maybe.
Yeah, I will. For
unless
sure.
It sends computer sniffing dogs to his house.
He's just creating his own doodle world. His own cool world. I liked the movie. If I'm looking at it as a whole, I had an enjoyable experience. Will I ever watch it again? Absolutely not. But I enjoyed my time with the movie. I am going to take into account what this movie's impact is on the rest of movies, which is nothing, and its box office. Performance, which is also nothing. It didn't even make back half of its original budget. Oof. So that's going to bring it down, obviously. But I did enjoy the movie.
20 million?
Enough. I think it made 14 million worldwide.
Okay.
Less than half its budget.
$30 million budget, yeah.
Oof.
And for that, it's going to be... I'm starting to regret not doing half... because I kind of want to give it a 2.5, yeah. And I don't know which way to go with it. I think I'm just gonna go with a 2.
I, as a reminder, am this everything that I say is based on my experience of watching the movie. This is the first movie that I've watched for the show in a long time that did not pass the phone test. Did not pass the phone test a lot. This is an hour and 40 minutes, and I feel like it's about 25 minutes too long, so it kills me that, like, there's an extra 40 minutes that I've already got cut out of this movie. With that said, I will be able to joke about this movie. I will be able to talk about this movie with other people. Not that I'm sure anybody else wants to talk about it. And I have had the experience of watching this movie. So I will give it a 1, and I feel like I'm being generous there. But I'm going to...
You
I
almost
paid
talked
for
me
this
to
movie,
a 3 just
it.
Now. I'm sorry about that. I should have checked that.
I am not mad at all. Like,
no, that is, I had the same reaction.
I found it on Daily.
I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to have to rent this
somewhere.
On Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
I found
there was some place that had it
DVD
if you could...
Rip.
Uh-huh. You could rent it through like a digital library if you had a library card, which Hoopla. I do not have somehow.
I know, same.
Hoopla, yeah.
Same.
I was like, fuck, I need to get a library card.
Right? I need to go down and visit the library.
Fuck, I need to go pay for that 2008 book I smoked. Yeah.
It's called Don't Smoke This Book, and Sean's like, watch me, bitch.
I'm gonna do it. Here I go.
Yeah, I could probably give you five guesses as to what book it was, and you'd probably get it. But that's
Please
a
Please Don't Smoke
thing.
This Book by Ernest Hemingway.
Shit. Ryan's got four more guesses.
I forgot that Hemingway wrote that.
Oh, I don't need them.
One of the all-American classics.
No, what Sean said, though, about I can joke about this movie, I can talk about this movie, that there's merit there, and it almost made me bump mine up to a three.
I think what Sean said is, I echo, honestly, probably more Sean and Brian here. Merge them, and that's my thoughts on this, too. I'm at a two. I'm not going to be a three. I'm not super... I also wish there was a 2.5. That's where I would be, but I just don't think it quite pushes it over. But I do really like, man, I kind of did love the animation. And as simple as I am, it's like watching Claymation or something. It's like, I can appreciate the effort in a lot of this, and especially in the final 20 minutes, like when all hell's breaking loose and like that the spikes out, like, there's so much to appreciate in the animation, and it's not quite like Miyazaki level or somebody like that where it's super detailed, but there's a lot that's going into it that I can see and I'm appreciating. And just for that alone, I would give it a two. But everything else you said is right, whereas like nothing's super great here. And like, if I want a lot of the things this movie's offering, I can get that in Roger Rabbit, which was done 4 years earlier. So what is this movie doing outside of like, that but hornier? I don't know.
Yeah,
it is so horny.
And it's a very horny movie.
A funny thing that you mentioned talking about like the animation, I also love just how gnarly and gross like half of these characters are, because it's a lot of fun to just see like almost, it's like almost a sinister edge to a lot of these, you know, it's back alley kind of nonsense, but then for every one of those I laugh at like how gorgeous they made Holly, and then just like how busted Candy is.
Well,
like
that's
in half of her scenes. Looked like she got beat with a frying pan.
If Roger Rabbit is Disney Tunes, this is Mad TV Tunes, or I guess Mad Magazine Tunes. This is that Sergio, I can't think of his last name, but like that artist, it's that weird, like real sexed, pimped up. I was gonna say amped up, but pimped up works out fine. Just everything's like really cranked to 11 in terms of sexuality, but like the minute what Kyle drew is almost perfect. Like that's
that's
Mad
why I drew
magazine.
This.
It is also that's it. The sexuality's cranked up on that.
Slimer from like Ghostbusters, the animated series, would thrive in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ren and Stimpy would also be right at home.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
and Rocco.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah, I'm ready for this cross-dimensional incremental crossover. Yeah.
Do you guys think that there's like a nice part of Cool World? Like we just saw like the dregs and like the bad side of town, and like there's a good side of the tracks.
It's probably called like Trash World or something. Like it's this opposite thing.
I don't know.
Because that wasn't like, I'm cool, man.
It's where all the Disney characters live. It's where the rabbits are originally from. The bunnies that look like they're animated Disney style.
That's good joke. He's in the gambling debt.
All right, the final category is direction. This is all on Ralph Bakshi and the full product that we're served here at the end.
I don't
that
know
thing
who
that
Kyle's
Ryan said about
to.
Composition terrible.
I was pointing at you, see if you wanted to start us off, or if you want to come
who,
in
me
as the cleanup batter.
Sean's talking about
I'll start
composition.
Us off.
I can lead us
Sean's
off.
Go ahead, Brian, take us up.
All right. There's a lot of problems with this movie. one of the things I read about this movie is that the film's animators were never given the screenplay and instead told explicitly by Bakshi to, quote, do a scene that's funny, whatever you want to do. And to me, that is extremely poor direction.
Again, we're getting. I've never heard that before, but that explains a lot of
that. Makes this movie
fitting
so
things
much.
In.
Of the scene transitions where it's just a bunch of crazy animated guys coming out and hitting each other with sledgehammers and moving on to the next scene, or like the reuse of the car speeding off multiple times.
That's
and then
like
suddenly becoming real again.
The most bare minimal of like direction that there is. Like, yes, technically you gave some direction there. Technically.
Yeah, like, hey, I'm making a movie, draw something. Clearly there's a lot of tension between the studio and Bakshi here, and the rewrite behind his back did not help the situation. The changing of it from an R-rated to a PG-rated only for it to land in PG-13 did not help any of it. There was rumors flying around for years that Bakshi and the executive producer on this actually got in a fist fight. He finally cleared that up in like 2002, where he's like, that never actually happened. I want to squash that rumor. But for years, people thought that they actually got in a fist fight over this movie. And he didn't feel the need to clear it up until, you know, 20 years later.
Add to the Ralph Bakshi mythos.
Wow.
Maybe it was only 10 years, I guess, if it was from 92 to 2002. Fine. But I got to say, I enjoyed the movie. I watched the movie and did not feel like, that was a huge waste of my time. It was only a little waste of my time. And it also did not pass the phone test for me, which is rare.
Wow.
Yeah, usually when I get into a movie, I really channel my focus, and it's tough to break it. But this one. I did get bored at some certain point. I don't remember where it was, but
I would bet it was honestly surprisingly more towards the overwhelming sensory overload sections than the boring sections.
I think you're right. I think it might have been
there's
too
just
much.
Sometimes
at
you're
times.
Just like, God,
I need a break for my eyeballs for a second here.
Can I get some exposition here, please?
Could somebody tell me what's going on instead of a bunch of cartoon characters bouncing around, hitting each other, chasing each other with axes? And mm-hmm. I don't understand a lot of what's happening here, other than it makes sense that it's just do a scene that's funny. And I'm going to give it a one. Because I know movies are hard to make, and I'm going to give them a little bit of credit. Mm-hmm.
It's funny, you learned from Dave, our good buddy, that every movie is somebody's favorite, he told you. And I want to meet the son of a bitch whose favorite movie is fucking Cool World.
That's hostile.
I don't think that person exists.
All right. They exist, dude.
I'm not saying it's bad.
They exist.
I'm just saying there's nobody in the world.
That person exists.
You think?
That's the weird thing, is that person exists. I don't love this movie. It's not my favorite, but that person exists.
You think there's...
yeah.
Again.
That quote, by the way, should not be attributed to Dave. It came from Cinema Wins, which is a parody account of Cinema Sins.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
That's hilarious. Also, Kyle, you should feel doubly bad, because the only way that somebody has this movie as their favorite movie is because they are being held against their will
in
a small closet, and this is the only movie they have ever had
access to.
That's
the one VHS tape they have.
There's somebody who found this episode because they love Cool World, and they're listening to right
they
now, and they're like,
devastated.
They're like, how dare
we,
you?
We have watched
tell me I'm
I
being
feel
held against
so
my will.
So much worse than Cool World.
But also, he's trapped in Cool World.
I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying I thought of that quote and I was like, what kind of person is this their favorite movie? Again.
And more so, why is it their
favorite?
Well,
that's what I'd be curious about.
This,
yeah. Why?
Yeah. That's
why,
that's
really
why
want
I said
fuck
I want
a cartoon
to meet that
character?
Son of a bitch.
I would love
I
to
know
talk to them. Yes.
What is up with you? Yeah. Knowing so much more context, it's what I originally saw is just budgetary things. We're obviously now knowing it was just fucking fighting between the director and the studio, which is common, but Bakshi doesn't have the fucking pull that he could get the things that he wanted. So the studio pretty much just essentially seems to have cut him off, and we get what we get. And
begrudgingly made a movie.
Mm-hmm. I feel this type of movie more than most has got to be incredibly hard out of the gate to make things work and line up. And honestly,
super ambitious.
As harsh as I was, I do think Bakshi put together a serviceable film, especially in the big budget area. Like, this was a major Hollywood production, and it still has a lot of that in it. Like, it's not what I'm saying. It's not a fucking B movie straight to VHS. Like, they could have schlocked it down even harder. You know,
they spent $27,000 to put the character Hollywood on top of the Hollywood sign.
Exactly. Like, they still push this movie, and yes, it's messy, but again, that's gotta be so, like, Bakshi didn't have support. He's doing so much of this on his own. He's scrambling with all kinds of different animators that are giving him stuff that he's trying to fit in. I'm going to go two.
This may come as a surprise, but I'm also going two. Because I can understand, and I could even see, if there's a 0.5, I'd be at a 2.5 here. But I'm going for two, because although this wasn't exactly for me, and, you know, I will look back fondly on this because of joking with somebody else about it, you know, I can, like, this is a hard-ass movie to make. Like, even in 1992, this is years after Roger Rabbit, like, the fact that they put all the time into this, it got made. I there's a lot of it that I don't think got made very well. But two, like, this is out of five. Like, one is, like, you are a failure of a director. That's zero, actually, technically. But, like, I don't think it deserves a one here. Like, two, I feel, is more than adequate for this movie.
So, to close it out, I also feel it's added to. I won't bury the lead. I think the direction here, this is something very, I think, similar to Joe Dante. I think I might have some nostalgia to Bakshi, as weird and problematic as he might be as an animator and his kind of themes and intentions. It's much like Ray Harryhausen, like, fucking as stupid and as simplistic as, like, some of the movies his claymations are in, like, there is inherent artistry to some of the stuff we're seeing, and, like, as messy as the composition is, it is messy, as sloppy as the storytelling is, and it's sloppy, as non-existent as the world building is. And it's not there. You want to find it, you can't. There's just something to the sheer effort in the animation here that just wins me over. And it's not enough to say, like, this is a great experience, this is a good movie, I would recommend this. But in the same way, like, I can't outwardly dismiss it. Like, there's passion here, and it's misguided at times. And, like, fuck it, that's fine. I'll take that over, like, calculated, like, nothingness, like the Super Mario Brothers movie with Chris Pratt. That's, like, just, like, four quadrant nothingness. I would rather have the messiness of Cool World, where it is trying something and failing, and it is failing, don't get me wrong, but, like, it's attempting something, and I can see what it's attempting, and it's so close to there that I appreciate it so much. But it's still a two.
But it's still a two.
Well said.
Everything that you just said sums up my entire thought process on the movie.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
I want to congratulate us, because for this movie, none of us gave any zeros. And that's shocking.
I like Bakshi too, like Ryan said. There's a lot of leeway.
Yeah, definitely. We gave this movie a total of 37 points. Out of 100.
That seems right.
Which is probably exactly where it belongs. We are a little bit higher than the Rotten Tomatoes. Critically, it's a 4. Audience gave it a 31%. So we're higher on both ends.
Those critics gave a lot of zeros.
And more than the audience. But we do come in under the IMDb, which is a 4.8 out of 10.
Okay.
So,
but higher than Metacritic, which is 27%.
Which is 27.
This shit's all over the place. It doesn't matter. Nothing's it's all over real. The place,
but all below half.
That's the only.
I want to go into the comments of those and just see people bickering about how bad it is and be like, listen, it's not that bad in this one area. You know, just I want to see if that's happening in the comments. I'm not actually going to. So listeners,
yeah,
go
who's
do
defending
that.
This?
Then come back, click on the show notes, join the Discord, and then tell us what you think.
There is a
and
time.
Then I'll give you a little emoji reaction.
In young Ryan's life, that would be me in the forums defending these 3 out of 10 movies and being like, it's not a 1, it's a 3. You recognize.
How dare even, you, sir.
Even Roger Ebert was like, it misses one opportunity after another.
And lucky
it's
for all those commenters.
Competent film.
You now have a podcast.
That's
that's honestly all it takes.
The world became a better place.
Well, Brian, I still don't know why exactly, but
I heard about it and that seemed good enough for me.
Weirdly enough, I do appreciate you bringing it to us because
I did.
It was a divisive one. It was a weird one. It wasn't
that divisive again that between too. Like a 1 and a 3.
Ah, true. I just like to say divisive because I like
it. It felt way more divisive during the episode, and I don't know why. Between like a 1 and 2 points.
So we're fighting over 1s and 2s here.
But I
it doesn't matter.
Because
I do
podcasting.
Like I mentioned National Lampoon's Christmas mm-hmm, Vacation 2 earlier, and I think that's quite possibly one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life, and I'm so mm-hmm. sorry, Kyle, that I had you watch that. But like
it was still fun. We still had fun talking about it.
Yeah, and in the time since watching that, I've talked about it 10 other times with other people, and usually in the sense of just like how bad it is and like joking and making fun of it. And I look back and I'm glad that I saw that movie because of those experiences that I've had. And I know that even though in the last 2 days, I watched this 2 days ago, I don't know. I don't want to talk about this again for the near future, but I will at some point. And I'll look back and be glad that I watched this.
I think it's a failure worth remembering as opposed to a lot of, again, like that 4-quadrant nothingness that comes out where it's just like fine. And then you forget about it because it's all just fine. This tries and fails spectacularly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That one scene where he got the fire flower. Oh.
It's a
ho-hum.
And then you blink, and there's suddenly 4 Trolls movies.
Seth Rogen. Oh, my God. What?
Is that really?
Are there really 4?
I think there's 3
that.
For sure.
I've definitely seen 3 of them. I don't know if...
But you've seen you know there will them? Be 4.
Ugh. Yeah.
Trolls no, November coming soon.
Yeah. 4-year-old, sorry.
Experience Crime Podcast.
Oh, God. We'll do all the Trolls movies at once, and then ritual suicide on... live stream. That's great. No, Brian, for real, thank you for this. I Ooh. As much as you know this was bad, I love the bad movie eps, man. These are a lot of fun for me.
Same.
Like it was rough. I didn't enjoy it, but I'm glad like everybody, I'm glad I watched the movie again because it gave me something.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel feelings that I don't feel.
Feel something.
So
I'm with Sean the whole time. I was like, man, I wish this was a better movie.
Yeah.
I desperately wanted it to be a better movie because I enjoyed what I was with my eyes seeing 90% of the time.
We all felt what it could have been.
Yeah.
I was Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover going down the escalator with the numbers behind
doing
like,
the
I
calculation.
Could see the movie there. And it was so close.
Yeah.
He was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders before she died.
Oh, shit, that would make this movie way better.
Shawnee boy, why don't you tell these folks where they can find us, and then it's Ryan's turn next week, right?
It is.
Yeah, is so true. Ryan, I'll give you a couple of minutes. Actually, boys, real quick, if this movie were to come out right now and it was a drastically better movie, so you were hyped to go see it in theaters... and you are the type of person that really wants some novelty popcorn bucket.
Okay.
What do you think this movie would use as its popcorn bucket cash grab?
I don't know what it would use, but I would want it to use Hollywood's bum.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
Just
honestly, it would probably be like Nails, the sidekick, mm-hmm. just his open mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is a good decision. That is a good call.
It would be the Harley that the mom dies on.
Wow. Oh. I love that her son wasn't even home long enough for one meal and she died.
Hey, man.
And he went into the cartoon so world while dinner was still being cooked at home.
The house is on fire.
Dudes, okay, let me tell you how confused I was through this movie. I knew it was like 1947. The motorcycle accident happened. Some dude, you know, T-bones them. And the most awkward motorcycle going across the screen thing happened. That was crazy. It cuts forward to like today world. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So he's still the same age. And then at some point, I thought Jack Deebs was the dude that hit them in the car and he's in prison. And I'm like, how is he still? How many years is this?
That would have been interesting. Dude,
that would be confusing.
I was so fucking confused. But listeners, if you were intrigued about the question about the popcorn bucket question, boy, do we have a treat for you coming up this Friday on the Patreon episode that we just recorded, where for as little as a dollar, you can get that episode. And I don't know how many we've done at this point, but at least months worth of episodes.
Experience. Lots of exclusive content.
Yes. Patreon.com/experiencegrind. Discord link in the show notes below. And Ryan, what are you thinking for next week?
So I thought this week might have been a chore for some people, and I was correct. So next week we're not going to watch a movie, and we're going to do another music episode. But we don't have to get super deep and serious like we did last time. We're going to keep it light and breezy.
Still will.
But also, let's keep our fingers in the movie pools. And I want us to talk about our favorite needle drops in movies. Any needle drop from any movie.
Fun.
And you know what? I'm going to say like any TV show too, because some TV shows also do fantastic needle drops as well. We're each going to bring 4 of our favorite needle drops next week. And then we'll also probably have like some spillover into Patreon, I would imagine.
Oh, that is such a good. That is a good.
I thought
good
you were just
call.
Going with bass soundtracks and I was already hyped. And then you did. And I was like, okay.
I had Forrest Gump in the holster.
Oh, you still have it, man. You can do all 4 from Forrest Gump if you want. It works,
man. That is a banger.
But that is our next Holy episode shit. So we should all have right, some fun.
That's gonna be fun.
That I is like a that fire app.
And as our closing segment, Brian, why don't you tell the listeners what they can go do?
Lovely listeners, if you find yourself in the cool world, don't have sex with the tunes, but in the meantime, go annoy yourself.